Hi, I'm Dan Slepian, a Dateline investigative producer for more than 25 years. I hope you're already following my new podcast, Letters from Sing Sing. The following clip is from the 6th episode. It's a powerful look at the impact that being incarcerated for nearly 2 decades has had on JJ's life, on the inside and also beyond the prison walls. After the clip, you can hear the rest of this episode and other episodes. Just search for Letters from Sing Sing wherever you're listening and follow the podcast.
Today is my son's 40th birthday, which I didn't think I would be spending it in on a visit with him in jail, but I usually try to spend his birthday with him.
It's November 11th, 2015. JJ's mom, Maria, is driving to see him at Sing Sing.
We're lucky this year he has a visit today, so I'm on my way to visit him and wish him a happy birthday. I just wish it was under different circumstances, but we'll just keep pushing forth.
It's been 1 year since JJ sent me that devastating letter, the one he'd written at 4 a.m. in despair after finding out a judge had denied his request for a hearing. That letter was a turning point for me. I knew that something had changed in my relationship with JJ. When I read it, I was afraid for him. My Dateline story about JJ had already aired, and there wasn't another one planned, but I was more committed than ever to keep going. After the judge's denial, JJ's lawyers filed an appeal. As JJ waited, time was passing. By his 40th birthday, he'd been locked up for nearly 18 years. Maria says over time, it's gotten harder to visit him.
Actually, my visits have gotten less and less. I don't like seeing him there. He's gotten old. And every time I see him, it hurts. And when I think about the fact that he's lost all those years, that he's never going to get that back. I try not to think about that, but it does come into my mind, especially on his birthday.
By now, I've known JJ for 13 years. We've grown closer. We've both grown older, too. I've lost a little hair. His goatee has gone a little gray.
Turning 40 in prison only serves to remind me of how many years I've lost. My salvation, my ability to survive this ordeal has basically been based off the fact that I've tucked away a lot of pain and suffering. I call it a reservoir of pain, and I try to numb myself to the situation because I know I have no choice but to survive it. No matter what it is that comes my way, I have to survive it. And turning 40 reminds me that I'm getting older, and I wonder how many years I got left in this world. My father died at 49, and I'm still locked up. Every year, I say, you're going home, this is your year. Every year, I still don't know when I'm going home.
I'm Dan Slepian, and this is Letters from Sing Sing. Episode 6, Friendship. From the moment I met JJ all those years ago, one thing was clear to me. Not only was he focused on fighting his case, he was determined to make something of his life. And in prison, that's not an easy thing to do.
You know, prison is designed in a way that individuals are supposed to just waste their time. It's like every day, it's come to the yard, lift some weights, run around the yard, walk around the yard, talk about nonsense. So, you know, like, it was monotonous.
And that was JJ's life in the first couple of years after he was locked up. Then one day, a group of older men approached him in the yard. They had a proposition. Come to the school building.
a lot of these older guys, their whole mentality was get these guys out of the yard because there's nothing good happening in the yard. And so it started with like a VCR and a TV in a room. It was like, you guys can watch movies. The only thing is, if you're going to watch a movie, you have to write about it.
The older guys were proposing movie nights, but with a required writing assignment. And that changed everything for JJ.
And so I had developed a reputation. People started to say, listen, that kid right there knows how to write.
JJ says other men in the prison started to notice him. Some of the younger ones wanted help with their writing. But the more senior guys, the ones who were active in organizations on the inside, asked JJ to come to their meetings. So JJ got more involved in the prison's programs. I remember on one of my visits back in 2008, he told me about some of the things he was working on, like starting volunteer programs, organizing fundraisers.
We donated $1,200 for back-to-school supplies, where the kids can come up, and they're actually going to be coming up starting this weekend, and they get a book bag with a bunch of supplies in it to try to help the families that come up here with their children. This was for the annual toy drive for Christmas. We buy toys for the children to come up on the visits.
What does it do for you right here?
Well, it gives me the opportunity to help people, to give back.
JJ was even elected by the prison's population to speak for them when issues came up, which meant he began to work closely with the man who runs Sing Sing.
He was a natural leader, and so he stood out right away.
That's Superintendent Michael Capra. He's been in charge of Sing Sing for more than a decade. He says he immediately noticed something about JJ.
Here's a guy who was kind of reminds you of a CEO right from the beginning, right? There's a certain air about him, the way he carries himself, the way he speaks. He's very clear on what he's thinking about, but he's also reads the room very well, understands who he is. He stepped out as like a young professional who was, an executive in a company.
And that's kind of how JJ began to operate inside the prison.
Responsibility brings a sense of purpose. Now it's not, I'm just waking up every day in a cage, looking out in the yard. And no, I got to go and see this guy in the yard, so I'm trying to help him. But it also was an escape for me. While I'm focusing on everybody else, I don't have to focus on what I'm going through. I don't have to deal with the suffering, the trauma of being incarcerated for a crime I didn't commit.
But JJ was surrounded by men who did commit crimes, and he got to know them. Many felt remorse for what they'd done. JJ realized their stories could help people on the outside. So he helped create a group with 10 of them to talk about the pain they'd caused, the people they'd hurt. They wanted to redefine what it meant to pay a debt to society.
Doing time in prison is doing nothing to give back to your community. There is no reparations in that, right? But doing something for your community, using your experience, your lived experience, using your hindsight and sharing your insight to provide foresight for the future of, and the safety of our children.
So JJ and the group began to work with Superintendent Capra. They wanted to make a video to discourage kids from following in their footsteps. But Sing Sing is a maximum security prison, not a production company. They needed help. The superintendent had seen my Dateline special on JJ, so he called me.
And I told you, hey, listen, I need a consultant. And, we talked for a while, and you were like, I am in this 1,000%. I'm doing this. I'm going to bring a team with me.
And that's what I did. I loved the sound of the project, but honestly, I had another motive. I wanted to keep JJ's spirits up while I continued to look into his case. I enlisted the help of a couple of colleagues, and we all volunteered to make a short video. We set up a camera in an empty room, and one by one, the incarcerated men went in and started to talk to the lens.
I shot my friend 6 times because I was angry.
I know how it feels to have destroyed a family. I know how it feels to have eliminated a name. You can't make it right.
That video eventually grew into a program inside the prison called Voices from Within. JJ was the group's leader.
We got to get to the younger guys. It's about reestablishing a new culture
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, a lot of the culture out there emanated from prison. Those kids that are out there cutting each other's faces, that started in here.
JJ ran the meetings, and Superintendent Capra helped spread the message of Voices from Within to the rest of the prison's population.
This is what we're doing. Guys that care, men that want to make a difference, men that don't have a negative agenda, want to give back to their own peer group, you guys. But the point of it is that everybody can be successful. It's just being a success for who we are, doing the right thing, period, and being able to be man enough to step up and say, that is not cool, that ain't right, we're not doing that, we're going to do this.
But to JJ, the accomplishment he was most proud of was getting an education. Sing Sing has a college program, something not all prisons offer. It's run by a nonprofit called Hudson Link for Higher Education. And in 2014, JJ graduated with a bachelor's degree in behavioral science. The commencement took place in the prison's visiting room. JJ and 25 other graduates wore caps and gowns over their green prison pants. His mom, Maria, was there with his younger son, Jacob. And I was there, too, with my camera. There were special guests like Harry Belafonte, and the commencement speaker was Whoopi Goldberg.
Unless you know the past, you're doomed to repeat it.
That's right. That's
you know, right. It will happen. So now here you all are, and you're being encouraged to go out into your communities, but you know what you're walking into. Because you have to think back to who you were. Because who you were is when you came here is not who you are when you're leaving. And that's really the journey.
Then they handed out the diplomas.
John Adrian Blaskos.
I was so proud of JJ that day. I had such respect for what he'd achieved despite everything he'd faced, everything he'd gone through. If I were in his place, I think I would have lost my mind. But over the years, I'd seen how strong and resilient JJ was. We'd become true friends. That's not something I ever expected to happen, getting this close with someone I'd done a story about. This was new territory for me. As a journalist, I needed to be careful. In my mind, I wasn't advocating for JJ. I was simply following the facts. I was advocating for the truth. JJ knew that. I said it to him 100 times. And while he continued to fight his own case, JJ told me about other men who were convicted of murder, who he believed were innocent. He introduced me to 3 of them and encouraged me to look into their cases. And I did. I wound up doing Dateline stories on each of those men. All of them were ultimately exonerated. Eric Glisson was one of them. I was with him the moment he was released.
It's like jumping up out of a coffin and walking. You know, it's like being read your last rites. And all of a sudden, a miracle happens.
But JJ, the guy who led me to Eric and the other men, who helped free them, he remained locked up. When I visited him at his cell one time, he showed me news clippings that he taped to the wall.
Show me who everybody is.
It's the wall of shame. That's all the people who had to spend time in prison for crimes they didn't commit. This is Eric Glisson. Wrongfully convicted, 17 years. Came out of the Bronx. Richard Rosario, 20 years, wrongfully convicted. Also in the Bronx. Did a story on him called Conviction, just like my documentary. So I wake up every day and I look at this. And it's what drives me to keep going, because while I may not be able to get my freedom through this process, there have been others that we've been able to help. And I guess that's a part of my purpose.
How does it feel to look at that wall, knowing that you're still here?
There's no way to deal with this, man. I mean, it's a very painful experience. That's where my hope lies.
JJ hoped that he'd soon be free too, that the New York State Supreme Court would finally grant him the hearing that he'd been asking for years. In September 2016, 2 years after JJ's graduation, his lawyers Celia Gordon and Bob Gottlieb got the answer.
Last week, after many months of waiting, we received word that the appellate division denied our motion, denied the appeal. So the news is lousy, to say the least.
Once again, JJ had been denied a hearing. The decision was unanimous. The judges didn't buy what the eyewitnesses, Augustus Brown and Philip Jones, had said, that they knew JJ was the wrong man. The court wrote, quote, "The alleged recantations by two of the four eyewitnesses were shown to be highly suspect." The opinion also addressed Mustafa in Seattle, the man I'd confronted outside his house, the one that two women said had confessed to them. The court wrote, "Simply put, there is nothing either trustworthy or reliable about the purported confession attributed to Mustafa, and that it, quote, was refuted by the overwhelming evidence the people unearthed in their reinvestigation of the crime." I'd also had doubts about Mustafa, but to me, the main issue was, did JJ commit this crime? Now, unless new evidence surfaced, JJ was at the end of his legal road. Bob and Celia were devastated.
Knowing that this is the end of the line, legally speaking, it was so hard to read that decision. I don't have words. I don't have words for that. You know, this is John Adrian's life.
I firmly believe that someday, somehow, when you least expect it, something is going to break. Someday, justice is going to be done, and I only hope that I'm going to be alive when that day comes.
You have a prepaid call from
John Adrian,
an inmate at Sing Sing.
JJ called from Sing Sing after hearing the news.
I'm just coming to terms with realizing the effects of the court decision is having on me. It's like, you know, they don't want to hear the facts. They don't even want to take the opportunity to dig deeper into the facts by just simply holding a hearing. I just don't know how much more of this I can take. It's been 2 decades. I mean, at this point, speaking to my attorneys, they're baffled by what's next. It took me 19 years to get where I'm at today. What am I supposed to do, another 19 years? To try to figure out where we went wrong, what we haven't uncovered already? How can we uncover something new? How am I supposed to pull all this off if I'm locked up in a... I live in a cage. I just don't know what's next. What's next? Finishing my time? I've been sentenced to life. I don't know what's next.
For more of this incredible story and other episodes in this podcast, go to the link in the description of this clip or search Letters from Sing Sing and follow the podcast.